are we surviving? Well, we wouldn't survive without the single farm payment. We would be struggling without the environmental payments. We've taken those environmental payments. We shouldn't have done. We should have told them to get stuffed. We want to farm properly, because they made us farm, do things that we shouldn't be doing. See, that's what gets me about these experts. They find something on your land, whether it be a bird or a flower, and the first thing they tell you, they want the gate shutting. You probably put your cattle and sheep on, well, the cattle on the 1st of May, and we one patch of land now, I can't put anything on till the middle of July. So, by the middle of July, the grass has got up, gone rough, and the whether it's bird, ground nesting birds or the plant life, will be smothered out. Because a peewit won't nest in deep grass. It likes bare land. But they find something there. Why is it there? It's there because it's been farmed for hundreds of years, how it has. And the first thing they want to do is change the regime totally. That is the biggest problem with these schemes. You can only be on a lot of these fields and the moor and for 5 months. It's what you do with them the other 7 months is the worrying bit. If your own farm, bad enough sustaining those animals. But when we took the roaches over, we not only our manor farm animals, we the roaches sheep had to come back. And for quite a few years, we sent a lot of sheep away into Cheshire for the winter, which helped, you know, you paid for it, but it was a viable thing to do. But there's not as much of that land now because the Cheshire farmers have gone into this New Zealand method of milk production, and a lot of their cattle stay out all the year round, so there's no sheep grass. And it's made it very, very hard. Manor farm, the original farm, gets very overgrazed in the winter because you've got to have those sheep at home because you aren't allowed to put them on the moor.
Right.
And the thing about this is, traditionally used to bring the sheep down for tupping and then put them back on the moor for up to a month before lambing and then bring them back for lambing. Now, once you brought them off end of September, we can't go on again till the 1st of April. And we can't go on the 1st of April because they don't lamb till the 15th of April. So we can't go on till the 1st of May. And we're having a struggle trying to get them to allow us, this is Natural England, to now allow us to leave our hogs on in the winter. Because if you could leave the hogs on, we'd have less miser at home.
Yeah.
Plus the hogs would get used to being on the hill.
Yeah, for the following year.
Yes,
yeah.
Because they get what they call hefted.
Right, yeah.
You've heard of that?
Yes.
Because when they do go on, all the roadsides round the roaches is green grass. And they never do get into the heather.
Yes.
Because there's enough green grass to keep them going 3 or 4 months of the summer. Plus, years ago, they used to burn the heather in strips. And there was always young heather coming. Now it's heather that's
degenerate.
Yeah, a metre deep.
Yeah.
And nothing will go in that, neither the sheep nor cattle. There's no green grass up there in the winter.
Yeah.
The hogs would spread out and get used to living in certain parts of the moor. Yeah. And when you put them back years to come, they'd remember where they came from and go there.
So the hefting is no longer possible because they're not allowed to have that first year up on the hills. Is that what's happened now?
That's what basically.
What about the general sense in the Peak Park has been to sort of just cut the numbers down? Because the numbers of grazing sheep were enormous.
Oh, yes.
In the 70s, weren't
they?
Yeah. They got enormous. For a short time, it hit the top.
A private farmer, he bought the roaches and he put, I'm not sure on numbers, but well over 1,000 ewes on it. Well, of course, it got hammered. And then the Peak Park bought it off him and cut the numbers right down. I think we are only allowed to put 200 on now,
right,
on 600 acres. As I say, there isn't enough on it to graze the rougher bits.
Right.
And we also put cattle on it now. We put 10 cattle on it.
There's your beef.
Beef, yeah. And there's even enough grass for them without going into the moor much.
So do you think you'd like to get more up there, really?
I'm not particularly more, but they should be up there for a longer time.
Right. So that's it. You just like would like to keep them up there over the winter.
Yes, especially the hogs.
The hogs, yeah.
The worrying part about not managing the roaches more properly, as in burning strips.
Yeah.
Some clown someday is going to drop a match, and the lot'll go. Mm. There's a road runs through it, and some dry summer day, it'll get on fire, and nothing on earth will stop it.
And talking to someone from the Peak Park, they're talking about how, if we think about the landscape in a slightly different way, the uplands, as not being about food production, not being even necessarily just exclusively about upland species of birds and stuff, but critical for water storage, flood protection. These are different ways that we have to think about the landscape. So what's your views on that?
Well, I think it's been taken out of context, the flooding. We've always had floods. We had some wicked flood. We had a wicked flood in the 50s. I think the work involved to make much difference would be out of all proportion in cost than what it was worth.
I think what there's a sort of different understanding now that people used to build dams and conduits and all the rest of it, which obviously takes water out fast. And it's when that fast movement of water, it can be very destructive, actually. And if you've got a fast runoff off the uplands, what this kind of bringing the moorlands back to what they were as a soak, a great sponge, a giant sponge, that's what the Pennines were always were. But once their capacity to be that sponge, i.e. you get drying out, then you lose...
Same as on the roaches, there's no chance of drying that out. The roaches, it's such a big area that no drain's in it. Yeah, it is a big sponge. Mm. I don't think there's anything been done that make it worse than it's ever been.
Mm. Burning of heather, though, is a particular issue, that certain amounts of controlled burning obviously are very beneficial. But,
yes.
But certainly the shooting people who used to burn it and dry it would... gradually drying out too much.
The worst thing they can do is, rather than burn it, is mow it. Because if you mow it, it doesn't come. It kills it.
Yeah.
You get the, is it linear, what do you call that grass?
What do they call it? Yorkshire fog.
Yeah.
That stuff, the sheep
grass
stuff.
That's what comes back, and nothing eats that.
So, in terms of going into agri-environment schemes then, when did that get going for you here?
Well, we used to have a sheep subsidy, didn't we?
The Hill
sheep subsidy.
Yeah.
That was the start of the
rot.
It was
in the '70s, wasn't it, really? It was the beginning of going into the European Union, wasn't it?
That was a bad thing in a way, because that encouraged you to keep more sheep.
There have been so many different schemes, haven't there?
Well, whatever it was, they came and they said, are you willing to go into this scheme on a certain piece of land? And of course they offer you money, and you go in, which we shouldn't have done. And then there's certain fields, you've no option. Triple SSI.
Because they're triple SSI. Have you got a few of those?
Oh, yeah, we've got two. Or
how much land is in triple SSI?
I don't know the acreage, but it's, it'd be 30, 40 acres, I suppose.
Quite a lot, then.
Yeah. That's not counting the roaches.
No, no.
That's separate.
You rent that?
Yeah, we rent that, from, well, not from Peak Park, Staffordshire Wildlife.
Staffordshire Wildlife Trust. Yeah. So what's on the triple SSIs?
Well, that they come and they say there's a certain plant there, I can't remember what name.
Yeah.
And they said we'd like to preserve it, so we'd like you to keep the stock off. And that's the biggest bugbear I have. Why is that plant there? You tell me.
Because of all the years of the
waste. Hundreds of years, the way it's been managed. It's been grazed from the first sign of any grass being there, or green grass, to when it was none on the back end. So the first thing they want to do is cut that grazing period down by 50%. Well, that grass, we're talking about plants now, that grass will smother that plant. And in 10 years' time, they'll come back to us and say, that plant's not there now.
Have you discussed that particular issue that, you know, about the grazing relationship with plants? Because it's a very particular issue, isn't it?
It is. And they spend absolute fortune on fencing it off. If it's a patch they think that wants preserving.
Do they check it out? Do they come and look at it?
Oh, they're always there, yeah.
You get a grant.
Oh, they give you so much money.
Yeah,
and you think, oh, that's another 1,000. We shouldn't do it. On triple SI, you've no option.
You've got no choice, no. And well, that will remain, will it?
I don't know. But in 10 years' time, that plant will be gone. It'll be my fault. because I'm the farmer. The person who told me, he'll have gone up somewhere else.
Right, let's talk then about the other stewardship measures that you're in. Obviously, you've got the single farm payment now, haven't you?
Yes.
But in the earlier days, what did you get high-level stewardship on any of it, or was it all the entry-level stewardship?
I think it was entry-level to start with.
And that was an important part of your income?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Once you start down the slippery road, you keep going.
What's the slippery road?
Once you start accepting money, I mean, as I say, you've no option on some of it, but these other fields. See, we bought land, poor land, that hadn't been farmed for years, for various reasons. Either the farmer had got old and worn out and didn't farm it particularly well, or in one case, the farmer lived down Cheshire and he used to send cattle up here just for the summer. Well, that never got properly farmed, as in liming and slagging it. So we bought this land, thinking we will improve it. And they come straight up, well, within a very short time and say, oh, we don't want that land improving. We want to cut the grazing down even more. Well, whatever was there is gone. But you can always find some bright sparkle come and say, oh, yes, I found one of these plants. Or birds. I mean, they talk about a decline in the wages. I don't think there's a big decline. I think the decline is they aren't on the sites they used to be. They've moved on to different fields.
Well, they certainly emptied out of the White Peak.
Have they? Right.
They certainly have.
Yeah.
The Curlew, very, very few.
Oh, well, there's quite a few round here.
On the White Peak, yeah.
But last lambing time, we'd done a drain down the middle of the field, and two peewits nested on the drain, on bare soil,
right,
in a green field. My grandson, Jake, goes round with me. He's about nine now. And we kept going past these nesting birds, not disturbing them, but saw they were there. And one day he brought his mate with him, and he was dead chuffed to see these birds nesting. And they just about got to hatching, and the badgers cleaned them out. You know.
Oh, badgers.
But those birds normally wouldn't have nested there.
No.
But the fields they had used to nest in have got overgrown. You wouldn't get a peewit nesting, and they like to nest on something like that, Matt. Yeah. With a bit of cover around them, tufts of grass around them.
It's a balance, isn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Yeah, it's a balance.
Because the biggest thing round here has gone worse is rushes. A lot too many rushes. And all you can do with them is mow them a third a year. Well, you might as well sit in the house and warm your feet as mow them, because you just come back harder than ever. You should let you drain the rushy bits, and there's enough rainfall around here to keep the ground wet enough for other things.
So where are the specific measures then, by Natural England, by, you know, government representatives, where you're saying that the experts will come in and they'll tell you to do a thing and they don't understand.
They've been brainwashed, the experts.
Yeah, you tell me.
They've been brainwashed that they want wet, boggy land. Well, nothing lives in wet, boggy, rushy land, only vermin. The birds don't live in rushes this deep. How are they going to get in them? It's totally ridiculous. They should let you drain the very wet bits and lime them, make them sweet. And if you've got grass growing there, that takes the moisture out of the land. Grass does. Rushes doesn't. And it'd be better for the bird life and the farmer and everybody. They can't see that, you know. The best wildlife, barring the silage field, the best wildlife ground I find is that is you're allowed to farm properly.
So you find there that you get the species you'd expect?
Yeah.
Curlew.
That's right.
Snipe and all those.
And we don't intensively farm.
No, that's the point, isn't it?
That's right.
You're not intensive farmers, are you? In any way. So do you feel that there's a lack of understanding about your intentions and your operation? Because you've got, between, I don't want to be rude here, but you've got like 100 years of farming experiences between the two of you, haven't you?
Yes.
Around.
Yeah. Well, that's what gets us.
Yeah.
That is what gets us, isn't it? They come. I mean, I'm not decrying age of whoever they are come. But they come with the attitude, we know what we're talking about. They know what they're talking about, rather. And you, anything I say, you would say that, wouldn't you? We want somebody, an overall view, that's going to say, yeah, the farmer, he's wrong there. But also say, the guy's, he's wrong.
Or
because
what?
These experts, they've all got a different opinion, but some of them got tunnel vision. You can't see the whole picture.
And then they won't be there in so many years' time. Will they? Have you said that? The farmer's still there.
Yeah. There was an old phrase that used to be, ask the fellow who cuts the hay. Yeah. If you want to know, I mean, I know it's we've moved on, but do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Do you feel that people don't listen then?
Oh, no, they don't. Because we only affect farmers. They've been to college and got a degree in whatever, and they know everything.
Has it given you a lot of grief, this?
It has. Mm. I'd hate for my dad come back now to see the fields that the state they're in, some of the pasture land. It'd be totally disgusting.
How can we move forward so that there is a greater level of understanding and cooperation between farmers like yourselves and, if you like, the conservationists?
Yeah. We're conservationists. They are interfering with our way of life, and because they are the boss. We take their money, have to take their money. They give us the money, and you do as you're told. If I ring up over something, I have a good National England person to speak to, which is, she's very understanding, but generally they're like as though you're asking for something you shouldn't be. If you want to put some sheep on a field or whatever, and I'm not doing it because I'm trying to pinch anything, I'm doing it because I want the good of the land or the good of the animals. You see, the worst thing is all this land you can only go on for 5 months. Well, it's 12 months in a year, that's the killer. What are you supposed to do? The thing is, it's very localised. If you go a mile down the road, so he's got all green land, and you go 2 miles that way into Meerbrook where Sheila is,
yeah,
that's all green land virtually.
Yeah.
Totally different than this side of the hill. All right, we've got a good view, but you can't make money out of the view. But the view won't stop like this unless the farmer's allowed to farm properly.
This has obviously been... I mean, this is terribly important to you because this is one of the first things you wanted to say when I rang you up. That you feel that you're interfered with and that you really have the local knowledge, your understanding about this land intimately, because if you're in it all the time, you get it, don't you?
Of course you do. Well, they think we aren't interested in the bird life and we're going to farm intensively. You can't farm intensively if you're can. If you farmed as hard as you could, you still wouldn't alter the bird population.
You're not intensive people at all. But some people around here are there? Are there some people managing?
No, it's not
possible in this territory. It's not possible.
No. The guy down the road milks quite a lot of cows. Not about 100 and odd, I think. But he's got good land to do it.
Yeah.
But he's not doing any damage to that land.
Yeah.
Because he's, either side is farm, but there's rough ground where bird life can survive and look down on the green land, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And so some of that is land. And he hasn't attempted to improve. Well, you can't, he's like that, you know.
Yeah.
That's why I say it is very, very localised, this problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've done all sorts. We had a... One while we were in a scheme, we were collecting plastic.
Yeah.
It didn't last long, but there was... We'd just bring it in, we used to bale it up and...
For recycling.
What, the silage packaging?
Yes,
yeah. So that's wonderful that you were doing that.
We tried it, but it was too much. There was a lot of work involved, but it made a mess. We had to stack it in the yard and we couldn't operate the farm because of it.
Other pig farmers were bringing it. We were a central collection for it, weren't we?
How long did you do that for?
Did we do it for a year?
Sounds like a great scheme. So what's happened since then?
Oh, it's still going on.
Yeah, it's still going on, but
you're not doing it here.
No.
You've been involved in the various stewardship schemes now. The single farm payment, you said, is there even more bureaucracy involved with that? It sounds pretty bad to me. Would you say it's worse than the old...
Well, on a lot of land, it's...
Stewardship.
You draw your money and you don't really do a thing because you couldn't do a lot anyway. Like on the roaches more, apart from it wants, as I say, it wants this burning strips, but we can't do that. But on some of these fields, proper farm fields, I think we should have been allowed to bring them up to the standard of a decent pasture.
Yes.
and it would have done no harm to the wildlife. It would have improved the wildlife. And we've been stopped doing it. They give us so much money and think, oh, you're having the money, what are you moaning about? But it's wrong.
Right.